if you would grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we're going to be at this morning. When we find ourselves in 1 Corinthians, Paul's written this letter to the church in Corinth, and they are in a bit of a divisive place. There's a little bit of turmoil happening in the church, and so Paul is calling on them to be united and to keep the main thing, the gospel. Because it was the gospel that was going to purify them on an individual level, and it was the gospel that was going to purify them corporately as a gathered assembly so that they could be successful in the mission that God had given them to push back spiritual darkness and be a light of hope in the city of Corinth. And so as Paul delivered the gospel, to some it was spiritual wisdom, to some it was life-giving, but to others it was nonsense. And why do you think that is? Well, for the same reason that you and I see that today. How is it that some are so sold out for the gospel while others are left scratching their heads? Why is it that to say that it is man's sin and our rebelliousness and our need for new hearts, why is that not the loudest answer to the problems that we are facing in the world today? And when it is offered, why is it ignored or even ridiculed and mocked? Because what was true for Paul in Corinth is also true for us today. The testimony of Christ is absolute foolishness to some, but to God's people, to those who were called before the foundations of the world to be a light of Christ, to know the life and death and resurrection, it is the power of God. It is the freedom from sin. I brought us to these verses today because what Paul made known to the Corinthians needs to be made known again to us. And so let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning from verse 1. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except for the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Brothers and sisters, the church has been called of God to carry this life-giving testimony of Christ to the world, to speak truth and to be a fount of God's wisdom. The same wisdom of God that Paul preaches here is the same wisdom the world is looking for today. And in the days we are living in, be assured that the risk is too high and the consequences are too detrimental if we get off our path if we begin to peddle a message that is no true message at all. There is need for us to remember and reorient ourselves, if necessary today, that the truth that we carry and the truth that we proclaim is the wisdom of God from God. It is not just an opinion from ourselves. It is not just another perspective on the world's bookshelf of ideas. Knowing this and settling it in our hearts this morning can embolden us for the mission that God has given to you and to me and to this church and to believers everywhere. This morning's text is going to remind us that God's wisdom from the Spirit stands in contrast, stark contrast, to the human wisdom of the world. And the world does not need the church to be giving it more human wisdom right now. And the good news for us all is that this wisdom of God has been revealed. And it can be known. And it can be lived out, both for the glory of God in our own redeemed lives and for the good and the glory of God in the life of our neighbor. And so let's walk through this passage today, literally, line by line, verse by verse, because there is some great truth for us here. Look at the beginning, how Paul begins by reminding them of the manner of his messages. There in verse 1, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimonies of God with lofty speech or wisdom." When Paul stood before them, when Paul gave them the gospel, he wasn't coming with the great rhetoric and the smooth talk that was so prevalent at the time. And in fact, look what it is that he decides to give to them. Verse 2, "I decided," so he had settled in his mind before he even got there, "to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, that doesn't mean that Paul was oblivious to everything else in the world except for the gospel, but it meant that his passion and his purpose and the center of what he was there for was to be the gospel. So as he spoke, he took it back to the gospel. As he ate, as he drank, as he was with them, he was about the gospel. Everything he did was centered on knowing nothing but Christ and him crucified. And it's a little bit humbling, and I feel that Paul has become human in my eyes this week as I studied this. And as he says in verse 3, "I was with you in weakness and in fear." And it says, "in much trembling." In fact, when you go back and you look at Acts chapter 18, which is the account of when Paul first arrives in Corinth, as he begins sharing the gospel, obviously there are some who love it and want more of it, and there are those who are hostile to the message. And it becomes so hostile that at some point, the scripture records for us there in Acts 18, that God had to appear to Paul in a vision and told him, "Don't be silent. Don't stop speaking. Do not fear, because there are people in my people in this city that need to be set free." Right? So my experience when I read scripture, I don't know about you, but God usually doesn't come and encourage his people to be strong and courageous because they're killing it. All right? It's usually that God has to come and encourage when we're weak and we're weary and we start to doubt a little bit the things that God has said and called us to do. And Paul, the great apostle, says, "I came to you and I was weak and I was fearful and I was trembling." He says, "My speech was not in plausible words of wisdom, but what in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So as Paul stands up there and his delivery may not have been all that great, anything that was shared is just evidence and proof of the Spirit of God at work in Paul's life. And he reminds them of this. And he says in verse 5, "By the way, this is for your good, because if I did come with this great speech, if I did come in smooth talk, then your hope would be in a man. And your faith should not be in another person, but your faith should be in the power of God." And then Paul goes on. And he begins to explain to the Corinthians that there are two types of wisdom. And this is important for us to take note of today. Look at verse 6. He says, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God." So right away, we're told that there are two types of wisdom. There is a wisdom of man. There's a wisdom of the age. There's a wisdom that the rulers of Paul's age had. And it stands in contrast to this wisdom of God. The wisdom of man, Paul says, is of this age and of the rulers of this age. But this wisdom of God says that it was decreed before the ages. One is temporary. One is eternal. Not only that, the wisdom of Paul's age and the wisdom of the rulers of Paul's age has a fate that is doomed to pass away. But the fate of the wisdom, the secret hidden wisdom of God, was glory. He says there that it was for your glory. So let's make really clear that there's this wisdom that is doomed to pass away, and there's this wisdom that ends in glory. It really shouldn't be that hard of a choice for us, but that's the reality. And this phrase, doomed to pass away, is so interesting. And it's actually a phrase that Paul uses several times in his writing, all throughout the New Testament. He's going to use it again here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, that great passage on love that everybody wants to have at their wedding, right? That we just use kind of out of context, right? Talk to me later about that, right? But we have, in that passage, he says that there are going to, that the prophecies will come to an end, that knowledge will cease. And when he talks about these things that go away, it's the exact same phrase that he's using here. It means that they are wiped out, that they are abolished. It is the same phrase that he uses in Romans chapter 6. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians and flip over to Romans 6. We don't do this very often, but I think it is so important for you to see the beauty of the languages in which the scripture is written. Because Paul says that there is a wisdom of the world that is doomed to pass away. It is going to go away. It will no longer be here. It will abolish. It will be wiped out. And it's the same phrase that he uses here in Romans 6 in this great verse. If you don't know this verse, I highlight it, circle it, underline it, stitch it on a pillow in your house. Like, this is so good. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This is the exact same phrase that Paul uses. When he talks about the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of this age, the rulers of this age that will be abolished, wiped out, it is the same word, same phrases that he is using here to talk about that the old self, when it is crucified in the cross by faith in Christ, and a new life in Christ begins to live, that the old self has gone. The body of sin is wiped out. It is abolished. It doesn't have a Band-Aid on it. It doesn't have a black eye. It has been abolished and wiped out. And that is only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as sure as you can hear me today, brother and sister in Christ, that your body of sin has been crucified in the cross, so sure you can be that the wisdom of Paul's age and the wisdom of the rulers of Paul's age is gone. It's wiped out. It's been abolished. You see, the problem here with reconciling these two wisdoms together is that it for sure is happening in the world, but even more so, it's happening in the church. And this is a danger to us, and we must confront it this morning. That the way that we come to understand the world is not by looking at the world and trying to interpret it like a pair of binoculars on, with one lens being the wisdom of God and one lens being the wisdom of the world and trying to make sense of it. Can I tell you that that will never give you what you are looking for? Because the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God cannot be at harmony with one another. In the same way that the body of sin and the natural sin self cannot be at harmony and at peace with the new life in Christ. They cannot coexist happily ever after. And let me tell you that as long as we keep looking at the world and trying to make sense of the world through two different lenses, you will never have a clear picture of what is true. If you are trying to make sense of the world by looking through two different lenses. And what's happening, and what's happened this week even, is that we've been trying to do this and we are growing increasingly frustrated. and disappointed and exhausted because the man's wisdom, world's wisdom, is failing. And should it be any surprise? But what does Paul say in verse 7? We don't have this wisdom of the age. We don't have this wisdom of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But what we imparted, a secret and a hidden wisdom of God. Now, don't read that and think that this means that, oh, that there's this, you know, you have to go on an Indiana Jones adventure to find the wisdom of God, okay? Because there were people in the early church who began to think that and teach that, and began to say that what Paul preached and taught about was this higher knowledge that only a select few knew. And that is not what this text is saying. This secret, hidden wisdom of God, well, what is it? We don't have to sit and question. We don't have to sit and climb on a mountaintop and ponder. It's been revealed to us, and if we would just look at the text, even the text that we're given this morning, by process of elimination, we're going to figure it out pretty quickly. All right? Paul's wisdom from God is not of his age or of the rulers of his age. God's wisdom, the secret hidden wisdom that Paul imparted, was decreed by God before the ages began. It's eternal. It's not new. God's wisdom has a glorious end, the text says. And it wasn't understood, if you look back at verse 8, it wasn't understood by the rulers of the age, because if they had known it, Paul says they never would have crucified Jesus Christ. And then he quotes Isaiah, a verse that would be very familiar to many and should be familiar to those of you who studied Isaiah here at Faith Family last year in our Bible study hour. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God prepared for those who love him. So Paul says, this wisdom of God, you wouldn't have known it, you wouldn't have thought about it, you wouldn't have imagined it, but it was prepared by God before the ages. What is it? Brothers and sisters, it is the good news of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the testimony from cover to cover throughout Scripture, throughout the ages, throughout time, that has stood the test of it all. It's the account that God, in his great mercy, has looked upon sinners who deserve his wrath, who have rebelled against him, and yet in his love and in his mercy, he has tethered himself to his people. Though they deserve his wrath, though they deserve separation, he tethers himself to God's people for not their own sake, although it'll be for their good, but for his glory in all the earth. And so all throughout the story of Scripture, throughout the ages, God remains faithful to his people who are anything but faithful because he's tethered himself to them. And God says, I will do what I have promised I will do. I will rescue, I will redeem, I will fix this whole problem that you've caused because you have rebelled against what is good for you. And at the right time, the Scripture says, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the deliverer, come to rescue God's people from their sin, to open the eyes of the blind, to rescue those back from the dead. And we know that he was the Messiah because read it. Look at the words that he spoke. Look at the miracles he performed. He proved, ticked every single box that he was the promised Messiah. And yet, he was crucified by the very ones he came to save. In him was life and truth and the only way to be reconciled to the Father. And they wiped him out. Because the sinful heart does not want to be reconciled to God. Or if it wants to be reconciled to God, it thinks it can do it on its own terms. But the Lord Jesus Christ lived in perfect obedience. And he died a sacrificial death, taking the blow from the curse of sin, though he had no sin of which to atone for. And the great glory of the gospel is that he did not stay dead, but that he resurrected from the grave in glory, proving that he was who God had declared him to be. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the day when his heavenly Father says, go wrap it up. Go finish this thing. And for those who are spiritual and for those who are in Christ, this is a joy, and we long for it. And the testimony of the saints ever since that day has been, how long, O Lord? But those who do not understand, those who continue to reject, could care less. I'm just trying to get my 401k built up. I'm just trying to get the job that I need. I'm just trying for peace in my family, because if this kid does this one more time, I'm going to shoot him. And then there's those who say, how long, O Lord? Because my family won't be perfect until you return. How long, O Lord? Because racism will remain until you return. How long, O Lord, will people continue in their foolishness when the truth has been made known? You know where the wisdom of the age of Paul and the rulers of Paul, you know where they are today? They're in the dust. They went to the grave, and guess where their wisdom is? Right there in the dust with them. But the eternally decreed wisdom of God went to the grave, and it did not stay dust, but it rose in victory, and it rules, and he reigns today, now, and forever. That is the wisdom of God. And it is so nothing compared to the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of God eternally decreed what God had and has planned in Christ was once hidden, but it has been revealed, you guys. The testimony of Scripture, all of the law, all of the prophets, the Gospels, God's wisdom is not tucked away in a hidden chest somewhere. He came and dwelt among us. God's wisdom is not an it, it is a he, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world needs to hear us speaking as such. Look at chapter 1, verse 22, where Paul makes this abundantly clear. 1 Corinthians 1, 22, for Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. You know anybody who demands, do it and then I'll believe? Know anyone who says, I just got to study more, and I got to read some more books, and I need to be in the library, and I need to learn more? For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're sort of circling the drain here, and the question still remains. So why don't people get it? All right, Ryan, I hear you. I get it. It's the gospel. We're about that here at this church. I get it. It's the testimony of Scripture. I get it if I would just read it. But why is there still no understanding? Because the wisdom of God is revealed only by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 10. Paul says, these things, this gospel, this testimony of Christ, everything that we've just boasted in, these things God has revealed to us because I studied really hard, because I talked to someone smarter than me. No, through the Spirit. And then Paul teaches us a little bit about the Spirit. I'm glad he does. He says, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. See, knowledge of God only comes through revelation of God. And the Spirit of God is said here to search the depths of God. Think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, eternally dwelling, perfect harmony and the depths of the love and the understanding and the mystery of all of that. And yet the Spirit of God searches even the depths of God. You know, it'd sort of be in the same way that if I said, all right, I want you to pick a number between 1 and 600. Right? And I said, all right, May, pick a number between 1 and 600. All right, there's a lot of chance there, right? And you can take everything that you want to know about me. I don't know. Like, you know, one time I played this with Ryan and he was a 12. I don't know. Lately, maybe he's a 32. Maybe he's a 4. Maybe he's a 599. You can know about me. But the only one who knows what the number is me and my inner man. That's it. And you won't know it unless what? I reveal it to you. And I can say, it's 4. And then you're going to know. Well, how do you know? Because I revealed it to you. And in the same way, the Spirit of God, who knows the depths of God, who knows the mysteries of the love and the mercy and the grace of God, has not left us in the dark, but has revealed to us all that we can know about God. Is there a lot that we don't know? You betcha. But there's a whole lot that we can know. And the Spirit of God has revealed it. You see, but knowledge through revelation is not just for the sake of knowledge. The Spirit of God does not reveal himself just so that you'll be smarter about the things of God. Look what Paul says. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, so there it is again, this other sort of wisdom, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So we can know some things about God. So if you feel uneducated, if you feel weak in the things of God, if you feel that you're not smart enough, don't listen to that lie of the enemy, because you can know freely what God has revealed to you. Might you need some help? Sure. We got great Bible study teachers here. We got great life group leaders. We have pretty okay pastors. And we would love to help you know that. Because spiritual people impart what has been given to them. Look what he says, verse 13. And we impart in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So revelation will make sense of everything that we've been given. Do you hear me today that every single thing in your life, whatever comes your way, whether you know it's coming or it's just a blindside, you can understand it through the revelation of God. You may not like it. It may not make a lick of sense to you. But God will give you understanding. And if the understanding he gives to you is simply, deal with it, and the cry of your life becomes, how long, O Lord, then blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Paul says, I gave to you what I received. For Paul, that was signs and wonders. The church exploded and turned the world upside down because it was evident that the Spirit of God was at work. And for us, it is the word of truth, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit today. Just last week, across the nation, many people celebrate Pentecost Sunday, where traditionally we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit on the disciples after Christ's ascension. And then look at the week that we had. Is it any coincidence that what is missing in the world is the spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of God? And yet, it's not missing. It dwells in you and in me and for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has promised us, as Andres read for us, that he has given us a helper and that he will be in us and with us. Lead us to walk in understanding. And yet we still haven't answered the question, all right, Paul, all right, Ryan, why don't people get it? And literally in black and white, look at verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, foolishness, stumbling blocks to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So Paul sets it up that there's a natural man. There's a person who does what is right in their own eyes, who thinks they have it all figured out, who maybe not with the words of their mouth would say, what does God know? But the attitude of their heart is absolutely that. And we all know natural people in our life. They're in our families. They're at our jobs. They're our friends on Facebook. They're in our youth group. They're in our church. And they don't understand the things of God. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. But the spiritual person, Paul says, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. And then Paul again quotes another verse from Isaiah that any good Jew would know. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And the answer throughout time up to this point was, yeah, nobody. It was a rhetorical question. No, who knows the mind of God? No one. But what does Paul say? But we have the mind of Christ. So in some way, and somehow, I don't know, it's a mystery. We can sit over coffee and talk about it all day. Somehow, those who are in Christ have some sort of the mind of Christ. And I don't know about you, but that humbles me. That excites me. That gives me confidence. Not in my own strength. Because I know what it's like for Ryan to live by his mind. And let me tell you, it's a mess. It's like a circus going off in there. You don't want any part of it. But to have the mind of Christ, oh man, that's something I want. And so with the little bit of time that we have left, from just those couple of verses, I want to give us three differences that having the mind of Christ will make in your life. Three differences that having the mind of Christ will make in your life. Because if there is something that as those who are in Christ need to be emboldened in, it's that we need the mind of Christ. And we need to remind ourselves that we have some sort of the mind of Christ. And when given the opportunity to speak with life and truth and hope, we want to speak from the mind of Christ, not from the mind of me. Or you, I love you, but I'll take the mind of Christ any day. So what are these differences? Number one, one of the differences that the mind of Christ will make in your life is that you will understand and you will have urgency for the lost. You will have understanding and urgency for the lost. Look at verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and look at this, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So first and foremost, this should give you great understanding about why the lost people in your life do what the lost people do. Whether that is a child in your home, whether it's a neighbor on your street, whether it's somebody in your family, natural people are going to do what natural people do, rebel against God. And that is not for us to sit on our high horse and say, well, I know what your problem is. Let me tell you all about it. There's a way to be truthful, but there's a way that we are to be gracious. But right there is the diagnosis. Spiritual people have no understanding of the Spirit. And so not only should that give you understanding, but then brothers and sisters in Christ, that should give you urgency like none other. You should be on your face before God, crying out and asking the Lord to give understanding. Because if revelation comes from the Spirit of God, then he's got to do something. And so for the lost people in your life, in your house, on your street, are you crying out to God? Crying out for him to reveal himself, to open their eyes, because there is no other way that they will understand or accept or desire to give two hoots about what you're talking about. The students know I use this example all the time. It's like sticking a steak in front of a vegetarian. It doesn't matter how much I tell you, look at these grill marks, baby. Like, this is the real deal. I can't even grill, so you know this is a terrible example. But, like, it doesn't matter how great to a vegetarian. They're going to say, I don't want that. But yeah, but like this is some seasoning, man. Like this is, let me tell you about this stuff. Yeah, I don't care. Why? Because the natural man has no desire for the things that are spiritual. And so does that mean that we throw our hands up? No. We plead with the God of all mercies and the God of all comfort to say, Lord, please let them know your goodness. Let them know your mercy. Show it to them. And then, by the way, use me. Use me to be the one to tell them about it. Give me boldness. Give me excitement over the things of God so that I will then be faithful and do what you've called me to do. And from the comfort that I've received, that then I will comfort other people. And out of the abundance of my heart that's so in love with what you've done for me, then I will share it with other people. You see, this evangelism thing isn't tricky when we have the right heart. But when it's check the box because my pastors want me to do it, well, yeah, there you go. You're selling steaks in Kingwood like, to people who don't even know. But for every person in our life that we just dedicate to prayer, and not like, oh, I'm going to pray for him when I think about it, but dedicate and make it a point, Lord, do something in their life. Let me tell you, the most dangerous prayer that you can pray, let me tell you, I had a mama who prayed this in my life. I had people in my life who prayed this. Lord, do whatever it takes. What a scary prayer. What a scary prayer. As some of you know who have prayed that for those who are lost in your life, and you've seen how stubborn they can be. Don't stop. Don't stop. Not only should we have understanding and urgency, but a difference that the mind of Christ will make in your life is that you will be able to discern all things. Look at verse 15. And I don't know about you, but I like taking the word of God for the word of God. So when it says the spiritual person judges all things, well, then you know what that means? All things. Greek for all things is all things. And so those who are spiritual can judge all things. So that means that anything that comes into your life, anything that you see in the world, anything that's going on, you can judge with the Spirit of God and have discernment. See, what happens is that takes work. It's real easy just to, tell me what I should think about this. Hey, somebody else tell me, oh, I heard it. Man on the TV told me, so that's got to be it. What? Let me tell you. Discernment very rarely will ever come through that little box in your TV, in your living room. Don't think because it's a certain channel or a certain network or a certain show that it doesn't need discernment, because the Word of God says all things. But number three, and possibly the most important, the difference having the mind of Christ will make in your life. Look at verse 16. He says, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There is only one way in which you will have the mind of Christ, and it is through your union with Christ. You don't get the mind of Christ by slapping it on a t-shirt or sticking a post-it around you. You don't get the mind of Christ from hanging out with a lot of people who have the mind of Christ, and so you just start talking like them. The way that you have the mind of Christ, whatever that is in some degree, the difference it'll make is that it will make you dependent on your union with Christ. It will make you dependent on your union with Christ. If you want to have understanding of what's happening in the world today, it comes from your union with Christ. If you want to be able to speak with wisdom to a lost and dying world or to your friends who are confused right now, it's going to take your union with Christ. Everything that you are challenging, every sin that you in your own strength are trying to overcome, it's not going to happen any other way but your union with Christ. And the Spirit of God has revealed to us that the way to this union with Christ is not 12 steps. It's not jump over this hurdle. It's not try harder, do more. Can I tell you in your own attempt, if you leave here today and say, man, what a great word, I'm going to go have me the mind of Christ, and you start trying to have the mind of Christ, you're going to start climbing on a ladder that never ends. And can I tell you, about halfway up, you're going to get real exhausted. And you're going to say, what did that guy know? But through union with Christ, when we look to the cross and we recognize that God's great love for me, that this great mystery, the secret hidden wisdom of God is the gospel, that Christ was sent to die, to take the punishment of my sin, of your sin, of our sin. Colossians 1, Paul talks about this mystery and says that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not your hope that life will get better. Not that things will shake themselves out. Not that that person in my life will just figure it out. Your hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 3, Paul writes about this secret wisdom mystery of God and says that it's that even the Gentiles, most of us here far off from God, are able to be partakers in the great promises of God that he made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That we get to be partakers of that. That the promises of God are not just for the far-off people out there, but that we can experience the promises of God. All of his blessings, all of his favor, all of his forgiveness. And in Romans 16, very end of Romans, Paul talks about this mystery one more time. And he says that it was a secret, long kept, but now revealed. And I love this because he says it has been revealed to all nations. This is not a wisdom that is just for us here at Faith Family. It is not a wisdom that is just for you and your family. It is not just a wisdom that's for our zip codes of Kingwood and Humble and New Caney and Porter. It's not just for us Texans, except Lord bless us. It is a promise for all nations. And there is much work to do. But brothers and sisters, we have the mind of Christ. So in just a few minutes, I want us to go into our time of response today. And the band's going to go ahead and start coming up. And our time of response is simply going to be, all right, Lord, what is it that you have for me today? And can I say that for some of us, perhaps the response is, Lord, I need it to be refreshed and reminded of this. Lord, I've been drinking from the empty well of the world's wisdom. And maybe today that you can find afresh and anew the fount of God's wisdom. And that it would overwhelm in your life, overflow in your life, for your good and for the glory of God in your life, but also for the life of your neighbor. For our brothers and sisters in the world today who need the wisdom of Christ. For those who are not yet our brothers and our sisters and yet still need the wisdom of God today. And maybe your response is, I don't know if I even have union with Christ. What do you mean? And so maybe right there where you are, you need to hear afresh and anew today that this good news of the gospel, of what Jesus Christ has done for you, that God loved you so much, that he loved you enough to tether himself to you, and call you out of darkness, call you from your sin, call you from your shame. And that though you stood before God completely guilty, warranting the death blow of the curse, can I tell you, we are all cursed to the dirt. That's where we're going, you guys. That's our hope. You want to write a book? You want to have some wisdom in the world? Guess what? It's going right there with you. But the great hope is that I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior. And he has taken the death blow of the curse for us, though he never needed to taste it. And so today, in your heart, if you would say, I want union with Christ, I want to be united with Christ so much so that his righteousness is my righteousness, that his obedience becomes my obedience, that his love for God becomes my love for God. And that is available to you today. And you can walk out of here in union with Christ, with the mind of Christ, and have everything you need to discern all things. But whatever it is, we cannot leave here unchanged. We cannot leave here as if this word has not come to us today. So whatever it is, in this moment, do what the Lord wills. Would you bow your head? Lord God, we need your mercy. Your grace is readily available. And Father, we have tried in our own wisdom in vain. Lord, give us your wisdom. Help us to walk in your way. Help us to discern all things. To give the wisdom that you have given us. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.